Become Unstoppable here on eRadio with Mindset Coach Andre Nell, who joins us again today. And yeah, always nice to chat to you, Andre. Welcome back. How's it going?
Oh, it's going lekker. I'm feeling amazing. How are you doing today?
Also great, thanks. And I know you're very excited because you're coming back to South Africa soon. And that's also why you said lekker, because you can't use lekker anywhere else in the world. They won't know what it means. It's a real South African thing.
Maybe the Netherlands, but I feel like it's probably South African.
Yeah. Now you must be so excited, and the sun is shining and the weather's still kind of good here for winter. We haven't had any major cold fronts in the last week or two, but they're probably still coming now in June and July, and that's when you're arriving, so you got to get ready for it.
I think I'm ready. I mean, the winters we've had here are like minus 20s.
Oh my word.
Yeah, they've been cold.
Okay, so you're going to be in short sleeves here and say, what winter, where?
Yeah, basically. I mean, the warmest thing I came to China with from South Africa is like probably my fourth or fifth warmest jacket right now.
Oh, my word.
Actually, I was speaking to Yanka yesterday, and she said, we realized that we're not going to... We are not going to go through fall this year, through autumn. We just have, we do winter, spring, winter again, spring, and then summer. We don't have fall this year for us.
You're skipping a season.
We're skipping a season, yeah.
Oh, that's actually so cool.
Spring twice.
Wow. I didn't really think of it that way. That's really interesting. No fall for you.
No fall for us, yeah, no autumn. It's actually one of my favorite seasons, I think. Yeah. I think if it's snowy, winter is my favorite season, but most of the time it's not snowy, so fall is my favorite.
Yeah.
But back home, I mean, the winter is not that bad.
Yeah, exactly. No, not at all, eh? No. So you're gonna love it. It's going to be absolutely awesome.
This Saturday, we went to vote. So I've still got that stain on my finger. I'm trying specifically not to wash it out as a memoir of the voting that we did, which was really cool. Everyone was so friendly, so kind to us, all the South Africans there.
You voted from abroad. That's so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I see there was quite a, they said in the news yesterday, I think, they said that the turnout was really good, especially in London. They had the most voters there in London. So they all went last night and yesterday and over the weekend, and they went and they voted for South Africa's future. So that's pretty cool.
I think it's going to be a big election. It's been 30 years now since 1994. And I don't want to get into politics talk, but I'm just voicing.
Viva!
It's going to be a big
one. Yeah, it's going to be a big one. And I think it's probably going to be one for the history books, because there's a lot of changes happening. And I think the results will be surprising, or hopefully it will reflect in the results. But we can only hope that our people want change now. It's time to change, and for the best.
I hope the airplanes and the ships move quickly, take our stuff back in time, our votes.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So, Andre, last week we briefly touched on confidence, you know, self-confidence and being confident. And Anya sent us a message over the weekend. I think she was listening to the repeat on Saturday. And she was asking a question that I also asked, I think, briefly in our last discussion. And that's, what is the difference between healthy self-confidence and arrogance, such as an ego problem? Remember, we were talking about those fine lines between them. So I think this is quite an interesting discussion. I'd love to hear your take on it.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's interesting because a lot of what you do to let go of like your limiting beliefs or your negative emotions or kind of the things that have held you back, we actually refer to it as, you know, shedding your ego, because your ego is the part of you that was conditioned in. When we're born, we're just such free, we're happy, pure spirits. We still are pure spirits, but now we've got our ego, all these voices kind of telling us we're not good enough or this or that or this or that, you know, filling our heads with things that just don't make us happy. So it's interesting, just as this question came up now, how people like ego and arrogance or confidence go together in most people's kind of like conversational banks, if I can put it that way. But to me, some part of confidence is actually being able to completely let go of ego in the sense of, you know, worrying about what other people think, being fearful of how people respond, being fearful of how you might respond to yourself and what would happen. So it's an interesting discussion. Let me think about it a bit further. So I think for one thing that stands out for me is arrogance is sometimes harmful to other people, whereas confidence is not. What do you think about that?
That's brilliant. That's brilliant. Yeah. Arrogance is harmful. Confidence is not. Arrogance and ego and stuff. Yeah. That's very, very true. That's a big difference. Yeah.
If I think about, you know, somebody who's just confident in the workplace, that's great. You know, confidence, they feel good about what they can contribute to the workforce. They feel good about their work, their abilities. They're happy to be there. They're not afraid of growing, learning, trying new things for the benefit of themselves and the company. But I think where it would turn over into arrogance would be, you know, telling their coworkers, why aren't you being better? Or look at me, this is what you should do. I am the only way. What I'm doing is the only right or best way to growth or to improvement or to be good in that kind of sense. And I think that's kind of harmful to other people. And that's probably for me where the line crosses from confidence to arrogance.
Good one. Do you think an ego is sometimes necessary?
It depends on what your definition of ego is. I don't, you know, there's different definitions of it. Depends on how you define it. You need to have that empowering self-talk to be confident, right? You're not going to be a confident person if at some level internally you're not telling yourself that you're good enough, that you can do this, that you're great. And especially if we take it into disciplines like sports, or even, you know, the arts, anything, you know, business leaders like yourself, you need to have that kind of internal self-talk that's empowering, that's telling you that you're the best or that you can achieve what you want to achieve, that you're good enough, you're capable, you can do this. All of these things probably is what, I don't know if that's what how most people would define ego, but that's where I think that's where the healthy ego comes in, is that self-talk of constantly telling yourself, you know, that you're at least as good as the level you're striving to achieve. And by that, I don't mean that you should say that other people are worse than you. It's not like a I'm good, so you're bad kind of situation. But I think there's no harm in telling yourself that you're good. You know, as long as it doesn't cross that line from confidence to arrogance where I'm good, so everybody else is bad. I think that's very unhealthy. That's very unkind. And I don't think it's sustainable either. So in that sense, I think some ego is necessary, but not to the detriment of others.
Yeah, good answer, Andre. You know, and I don't know if you met famous people before, but sometimes you find it with famous people, you meet them and they sort of enter the room and there's this whole air about them and almost like a sense of self-importance. You know, they're so important, like stop everything you're doing and look at me because I'm famous, you know, that thing. Yeah. And that's actually really off-putting, you know.
It could be. Now that you're mentioning that, that's giving me another element to arrogance, which could be that, self-importance, like you said. What you're saying, you know, when somebody walks into a room or where you meet somebody famous and they might seem arrogant, I think it could be because, you know, we're all energetic beings, so we're giving off energy. That which that person thinks or believes about themselves, we can pick that up subconsciously. And so it might be a thing of as soon as you walk into a room where you no longer at some point see yourself as, when you see yourself as better or more than somebody else that you interact with, I think that's probably also a crossing over from confidence to arrogance. For example, like if I were to meet a famous person and, you know, they don't have the time of day for me because I'm not famous, that would probably be because they think they're better than me. They're more than me because they've achieved in one area of their life that I haven't achieved in. But I think that would be kind of a flawed way of thinking, because just because somebody is a famous sports star or something, they're probably much greater than I am in that field. But in terms of being a successful husband, or like a loving husband, or a businessman, or just a kind, generous person, there are different ways to measure yourself against other people. But if you just kind of blanket statement generalize, I'm better than everybody else who's going to talk to me today, that's probably crossing from confidence to arrogance into
definitely
an unhurtful ego. Yeah.
That's a very good answer there.
Arrogance is also, the line isn't always with the person who's giving out the confidence. I think it's a lot in the perception as well. Sometimes you think somebody's arrogant, but they're not. And that's probably a belief that you have within yourself that's causing that kind of discrepancy in meaning. Does it make sense?
Yeah, that's how you perceive it. It doesn't mean necessarily that that's how the other people perceive it. That's very, Andre, spot on. I love your answer there. I was actually wondering how we would work this out, but you really nailed it. You nailed it, eh?
We're learning on the spot, yeah. Yeah, because I think perhaps if you at some level feel that you're not good enough or something like that, and suddenly you meet somebody who has the confidence you want for something, I think it could be a trigger for a person to see them as being arrogant. Especially, I mean, there's a whole lot of factors that come into play. Like, let's say in the past you met somebody with like brown hair and green eyes who really did you dirty, and now this guy, someone with all this confidence and this thing that you want to be confident in, they've got brown hair and green eyes, and all of a sudden you're like, this guy, they're arrogant, they're not confident, they're arrogant. So there's a whole lot of like perceptions and past beliefs that come into play in the kind of dance between confidence and arrogance and ego, you know.
Yeah, Anya, I think we answer that question now, and that's brilliant, and I hope that helps. Andre, you mentioned beliefs now, and I know that you want to talk about limited beliefs as well today. How would you define limited beliefs? What exactly are we talking about?
Yeah, so limiting beliefs. Well, first of all, beliefs are, let's just go back to the basics. Can you remember, I think I've mentioned this on the podcast, can you remember what I said a belief is? I'm going to test you here, see if you're actually listening to me.
I really do, but sometimes the file that's in the brain that should recall it is unavailable because the memory's currently being used by another task.
Okay.
Can you just give us a little refresher?
A belief is something that you've come to accept as being true. So an idea or a concept that you've accepted as being true. That's at the baseline what a belief is. So at some point, meaning at some point, you made a decision in your mind internally that this thing is true, that thing is false, this is how it is, it's no different than this. So that's what a belief is. A limiting belief is a belief, a decision that you made, something that you believe to be true that hinders you in some way. And most often limiting beliefs are actually not backed up by evidence. So what I mean by evidence is, if we all have the belief that the sun rises, right? The sun rises every day. The evidence for that is when you wake up and you look outside, the sun is rising, right? You know, this is just, that's the evidence. But for limiting beliefs, that could be something like, I'm not good enough to do this, or I don't deserve the love my partner gives me, or something that's holding your back, or even this is difficult, like doing task X is difficult, could be a limiting belief. And often it's not backed by evidence as we believe it is. And the tricky thing with beliefs, as soon as you believe something, like, it becomes a filter, right? So everything that happens to you, like we said, first it gets filtered through your beliefs, your values, your conditioning. So if you've accepted the belief as I'm not good enough, or I don't deserve my partner's love, anything like that that's limiting, or that this task is going to be too difficult, what you're going to experience is exactly that. It's like we've mentioned in the past. Whatever you think is true is true for you, you know? That's what you're going to experience. So a limiting belief holds you back. I think that would be the summary. It holds you back. Something you've accepted as being true, it holds you back. And it's not necessarily backed up by evidence. Because people, we're very, very, very good at generalizing things, right? Like blanket statements. You know, that's where all the stereotypes come from. But we're probably not as good as we should be at being detectives, finding the evidence for the beliefs that we have.
Mm. And then, Andre, how do we get rid of these limiting beliefs? I suppose, firstly, you need to realize that you have limiting beliefs, and we don't always see it ourselves. So that's when we rely on family or friends to tell us, you know, that, hey, watch out what you're saying to yourself. You have limiting beliefs here. Why are you saying that, you know? And then a bit of introspection.
Mm. That's a powerful indicator, yeah. That's why you need to surround yourself with, you know, well, you can't choose your family, but surround yourself with good friends. Make sure that you're open to what other people say to you, because it can really help you. I think even more than that, if you don't even need other people sometimes to realize it, because the biggest compass we have in our life is our feelings. If you feel something besides positive, right? Like, let's say you got a big presentation coming up and you're constantly bombarded with these thoughts like, how can I do this? It's not going to be a good meeting. Or you just feel nervousness is fine, but you feel like really anxious or fearful, doubtful, perhaps. Those are feelings, and feelings indicate to you what's actually happening in your subconscious mind. It indicates your state of being. So you can start to see, whenever I feel negative about something, there's probably some sort of belief behind that that's triggering it. So watching your feelings and being attuned to how you feel is a really powerful indicator as well of whether you have a limiting belief or not. And from there, you kind of, the first thing you do with a limiting belief, as with any like detective case, you look for the evidence, right? So you start to question if your belief, let's just work with I'm not good enough, right? I'm not, because that's a belief that everybody has in some way. You start to question, I'm not good enough. When do you think you decided on this belief? What evidence do you have to support this belief? And this is where it gets really nuanced, because it will be easy for you to find stuff in general, right? Like a general statement, I'm just not good enough. But it's probably more beneficial to be specific. Generally, what happens is at some point in our life, we tried something, we failed, and we immediately decided, I'm just not good enough. But in reality, what happened was, at that time, I was not good at doing that thing in that instance, right? That's all it was. It's not my whole life, I'm not good enough or anything. So we need to question the evidence, and we also need to look at the opposite. I'm not good enough. What is the opposite of that? You are good enough. You're capable. You're powerful. You are competent. You have so much belief in yourself. You can do things well. And when you take the opposite, like I can do things well, start to look for evidence in your life of that. You know, you got to work safely, you successfully completed a small task at work, you saved up for something and you bought it. You know, you saw growth in your life in this way, or other people have shown this week that they care for you and love you and support you. Those are all examples of evidence for why you are good enough. So I think step one would be to check what's the opposite of the belief that you have. Like, what do you feel? I feel like I'm not good enough. What would be the opposite of that? I am good enough. I'm capable. I can do things well, or however powerful you want to go. Then you look for the evidence of why you are like that, why you can do things well. What have you done well in the past? Because once you build up evidence, you can start to reason with yourself. But hang on, I've done these things well. Maybe I am good enough. And you're planting the seed. So it's constantly questioning and questioning and questioning that limiting belief until you get to a point where it doesn't trigger so much emotion within you. Because like I told you previously, feelings, they're your guide. As soon as you don't feel that strong negative feeling when you have that thought about you're not good enough, that means you're making progress. So constantly questioning it, looking for evidence for and against, that means you're challenging that belief and you're going to start programming in a new one. And then what you do is you look at, how do I want to feel? What do I want to believe in myself? Because, you know, if anybody can do it. You can do it. We're all made with limitless potential. We all have the capacity to do everything that we want to do already within us. It's just about the choices we make and the beliefs we choose to have about ourselves. So make that choice. Switch from I'm not good enough to whatever you want to believe about yourself. Like, I am a strong, powerful woman. That could be a really empowering belief. How does that feel when you're a strong, empowered woman? What actions do you take? What qualities do you embody? How do you feel when you take those actions? And the easiest part of them all is we were all born with an imagination, with these higher capabilities like intellect and will and imagination. Close your eyes. Put yourself mentally in situations where that you might experience in the future, and see yourself acting as this new person that feels strong and empowered, that feels happy every time they make a decision, that's proud of what they do, that feels like other people love them, and see that happening. Because a secret that many people might not know is your mind doesn't know the difference between what's real and what's imagined, what you're just visualizing in your head. So if you visualize it often and often enough, that's what's going to happen. That's what happened in the first place. You visualized and told yourself, I'm pretty sure nobody ever told you that you're not good enough, but you told yourself you're not good enough. So if it happened in your mind in the first place, it's going to happen in your mind again for you to change it. So you make that choice. You visualize, you see yourself there. That's a really powerful way of becoming like a really conscious creator of your life and choosing who you want to be, how you want to live.
Andre, very good answer there. I want to ask you, is it kind of related to imposter syndrome, you know, that behavioral health phenomenon where we doubt our intellect, we doubt our skills or our accomplishments? Would this tie into imposter syndrome?
It does, yeah. And now that you mention it, it's something that came up with a client, a new client of mine, over this past weekend. It definitely comes up with imposter syndrome. You know, it shows up in when people do things well constantly, but internally they're telling themselves, but I don't really know what I'm doing. You know, I'm not really this person. Outwardly, people might tell them, wow, you're so good at this. How did you do this? You know, that was amazing. But perhaps inwardly, they're kind of feeling like, I don't know what I'm doing. I was just guessing. Or if only people knew that I don't actually know what I'm doing, stuff like that. So that's definitely, it definitely ties into imposter syndrome. And I'm not saying that it's just something that you could change overnight. It takes repetition. It takes effort, right? It takes decision. You've got to decide you actually want to change. A lot of people, you know, you could tell them, you know, but this, like, listen, Neon, saying this about yourself isn't good for you. And you can be like, yeah, I know, Andre, but that's just the way it is. That's just what I'm used to. Decide to change. It's in your choice. Like, it's in your hands, you know. Decide to change. Make the decision. Decide that you want it to be different. And then put in the work, repetition, in order to change that. And just on that note of imposter syndrome, the more I'm becoming an adult, as in, like, the older I get, I still think I'm a young adult, the more I realize that so many people that hold titles or positions don't actually fully know what they're doing. And what I mean by that is, as a kid, you think that your mom knows exactly how to be a mom, like she was trained for this. As a kid, you think like the police officer knows exactly how to be a police officer. This is all they've ever do. But when you grow up, you realize that your mom, that police officer, the HR at your company, they're a person just like you.
Wow.
They make mistakes. They have doubts. They have fears. And when you realize this, when you realize that the person you think is judging you is probably judging themselves the same way you are, it shifts your perspective.
Wow. Because you really just opened up a door there for me. I just all clicked.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I just saw a light coming in and angel sound effects. You know that light bulb moment?
Yeah.
Yeah, that.
amazing. And I realized that the first time, not even through coaching, it was through PowerPoint work that I did. This person who, she came to me and she was doing this presentation on how to get people to, I'm forgetting the actual words, but it's like how to pitch your product or your idea so that you get an investment basically for your project. Not like a company, but just for your project. Like how to get people to invest $100K in your project, $100,000 in your project. And she came to me, and I promise you, this was the most disorganized person I'd ever met in my entire life. She did not give me clear images. She did not give me clear instructions. She did not speak to me kindly. She had very unreasonable expectations. And she just wasn't easy to work with. She did not have, even more than that, she didn't have a high budget. If you expect to teach other people to give you $100,000, your own beliefs about how much you're worth or how much the work people are doing for you is worth has got to be higher, right? And I realized that day, the person is literally giving a seminar on teaching people how to get people to invest in their projects. But she has, she has very little idea of how to do it well. She certainly didn't help me help her get the presentation sorted out well. And I realized that day, she also had a very fancy title. I realized that day, it's all just perception, man. Like, it's,
yeah,
when you realize the other person is judging themselves, they also have the same doubts you do. They're probably not even looking at you or caring, you know, like what you did on the inside. And the person that you think that trained you, that knows how to teach every class perfectly, when you're teaching the classes perfectly, but you might not feel like it, that's the right way. It's just, you know, it's just you creating that doubt and that perception of you're not good enough. When in reality you are, you're doing it. The evidence shows that you are. It's such a mind-blowing moment, but it's really difficult to get that point across, to get people to understand that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. You answered our questions beautifully today, Andre. Thank you so much. But now I believe that you want to ask us a question in closing today.
Oh, yes, I do. So I asked a question last week in closing. It was just about confidence, I think. Or did I ask two? Anyway, new question for this week is, I'm moving back to South Africa. I would like to start working on a few workshops, like webinars, master classes for people that I'd like to present, you know, like to move from one-on-one coaching, keep doing that, but also helping more people at a time through these kinds of things. So my question is just, would anybody be interested in something like that? And if you would be, what kind of topics would you be interested in? Like, what would benefit you most? What would give you the most value? Obviously, I'm operating from a different place now because I understand mindset a lot better because I've studied it, I've trained in this. But I want to know, you know, what are people struggling with right now? What do they need help with? What could benefit them? So, yeah, I'm really excited to start giving workshops and webinars and masterclasses online and in person. But I'd really like to know from everybody listening. It would be really helpful to me. What are you interested in learning? What would benefit you or be of value to you?
Okay, that's very good, Andre. And then, of course, you can send us a WhatsApp on our WhatsApp line. Also, if you have any topic suggestions for next week's discussion, 061-253-0670.
Oh, one more thing, an announcement.
Yes.
I'm so close to having all these podcasts on my website up as well.
Yay.
I did some work on the weekend. It's finally going to be there.
Yes.
I can't give a date. It's not finalized, but I did really good. I made really good progress.
I'm very proud of you because I know I pushed you a bit.
You have. And I have listened and I found the time and I made really good progress.
Oh, I'm proud of you. And next up, some social media posts as well for the podcast. But we'll get there eventually. But
one step at a time.
Exactly. But it's great that you have it on your website, especially with the different topics and all that stuff. It's just, that's awesome. Well done. Just give us your website again for listeners who want to go check out your website at the moment.
Yeah, sure. My website is www.andrenellcoaching.com. That's Nell with one L. On there, yeah, you can find all the information about my coaching program, about the sessions, what kind of benefits or results you could get, you know, whether it be a good fit for you. Soon you'll be able to see the podcast there as well. And you're able there to, yeah, buy my book, book a free coaching session with me and get connected.
Awesome. Andre, thank you so much. This was great. And I'm looking forward to next week's discussion already. Same time, same place. Wishing you a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you so much. And same to you. And see everybody in South Africa real soon, I guess.
The countdown is on. Yeah. Thanks, Andre.
Thank you. Bye. Moving from stuck to unstoppable is an empowering journey when you're working with a great coach. So take the opportunity and tune in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on eRadio SA with me, Andre Nell, Mindset and Life Transformation Coach. Propel yourself into the realm of your untapped potential and break free from the invisible chains of your limitations. Book a free discovery coaching session with me by heading over to my website, www.andrenellcoaching.com. See you there.